Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is your host, Chad Dotson. Joining us on the line today is, you read him every morning, you hear him on the radio with Marty in the second inning every other game. It's our friend, Mark Sheldon, beat writer for MLB.com. How are you doing today, Mark?
Fantastic, Chad. Yourself?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Glad we got to catch up with you. Mark's actually on his way to Chicago for the big weekend series. It's usually a crazy time out there in Chicago, isn't it?
You know, it is. The stadium's always packed, whether they're winning or losing. Obviously, the Cubs aren't doing too well right now, but it's kind of been viewed as one of the world's larger happy hours. And fans have a good time. The stadium's obviously older than old, and for us media types, and no one, this isn't a thing that fans should care about, but it's a little harder for us to do our jobs. But, it's always an interesting series, whether it's both teams are out of it or both teams are in it. The Cubs series with the Reds are always, a little bit more attention, a lot more media. And the games are usually pretty interesting, especially if the wind's blowing out.
I wanted to talk to you, and we will in a moment, about a couple of things, a couple of the articles you've written lately. But the first thing I wanted to ask is, you're with this team pretty much every day. Coming into this season, did you see this team being where they are right now, half game up here at the beginning of August in the National League Central?
I'd be lying if I said yes. I did say, and I'm pretty sure it could be located. I think when the season came coming into the season, especially during spring training, I said this team is going to be better than last year. It'll be competitive, but they'll probably win 83, 84 games. It was kind of where I had it. I kind of imagined them being in it for a while, then kind of fading a little bit towards the end. And they've definitely exceeded my beliefs. Well, the one thing that's really just stunned me is that they're able to hit so much better than they did last year. The addition of Scott Rowland and to a degree Orlando Cabrera is really opened up their offense a little bit. Obviously, Joey Votto has been doing what he's been doing, and the pitching's been really good because last year the starting pitching was really something that held them back, and now this year it's been really one of their mainstays.
Well, you're right on target about the offense. Your prediction there was sort of about the same place we were. I thought they were basically maybe a slightly above 500 team. I didn't know how the Central was going to be, but I would have been surprised to hear they were in first at this point in the year. I didn't think their hitting, I'm the same way. I thought their hitting would be better than last year because it was really, really bad last year. But I just didn't see how it was going to be, a whole lot better, I guess. And never would I have guessed it'd be, the number one offense in the league for most of the year. That's just sort of blown my mind, especially if you'd have told me that Jay Bruce would sort of be struggling the way he has for the last month and a half. I wouldn't have believed it. What about Jay Bruce? What are we to make of the fact that he's been struggling here lately? You're watching him every day. Of course, we're watching him on television, but what do you make of the fact that he's been struggling so bad lately?
I think it goes in cycles. I looked at his splits for every month, and from April into June, they were relatively reasonable, if I'm not mistaken. July was horrible. I think he was under 200 for July. But if you look at most players, most players have an ebb and flow in their season. Not every player is going to be batting their average for the season consistently the entire season. And I think, you'd like to see him step up and do more. We forget he's 23 sometimes. But I don't really see this as a sky is falling situation with Jay Bruce. I think overall he gets it. He wants to be a good hitter. He's kind of gotten away from some of the things that made him successful earlier in the season and at the end of last season where, I think he's obviously expanding his strike zone again and getting a little less selective, and those are the things that hurt him, at times last year. And I think, him knowing that is, and he's already admitted to it, him knowing that's already half the battle, so you already figured he knows that much. So now he's got to, put it into practice and figure out how to get back to where he was, and I think he will. I'm not as concerned about him. I think Drew Stubbs, on the other hand, he's been really lost a lot of times this season. If he is now, and obviously he hasn't played the last four games, I think there's more concern about his offense getting back in track than I have for Jay Bruce.
Well, I agree 100% with everything you just said, and I want to talk about Stubbs more in a moment, but you absolutely hit every point that I was going to make about Jay Bruce. I get really tired of people trying to throw him under the bus or saying, let's send him down to Single A to work on his game, or, you know, how fans can be sometimes. Certainly, I'm sure you hear it on Twitter and elsewhere. People need to remember that Jay Bruce is 23 years old. Most players, when they're 23, have not sniffed the major leagues yet. Yes, he's in a struggling right now, and my question was really sort of wondering if you were – obviously, it's in his head a little bit. I didn't know if there's anything that can be identified. I guess if there's anything that can be identified to get him straight, that's Brook Jacoby's job and Jay Bruce's job. But I think you're exactly right. He's not the guy to worry about. And, you know, when he was hitting awfully well there for a month and a half earlier in the season, you know, there's no reason to believe he can't get back to hitting well again. And if he does that the next 2 months, well, you know, look what we've got on our hands. So Stubbs, though, are we looking at a – it's too soon to say, obviously, and it's a little bit – I'm being a little bit facetious in saying it this way, but could we be looking at a Wally Pipp situation with Chris Heisey coming in and trying to grab the brass ring and really take that job?
I'm not sure it'll be a Wally Pipp situation. And I did say I was more worried about Stubbs, and I will qualify this, that I think everybody in general in this day and age tries to take a football mentality to baseball. And, you know, baseball's such a long season, and you have so many games, and your true numbers do come out at the end. I don't think anyone ever goes too far above or too far below where their career is. Obviously, Stubbs is more almost a rookie, but not quite. But that's why I don't get too over concerned about anybody. But with Stubbs being in this 1-for-36, and he's had a very roller coaster season, you have to remember, you know, his RBIs and his home runs is almost as good as some teams like the Pirates or the entire Astros team has.
Sure.
So you got to put that in perspective. But at the same time, now that the team is in contention, now that the team needs to win, you do have to think about whether it's Heisey or perhaps Chris Dickerson. You know, about a month ago, I would have said when Chris Dickerson went on his rehab assignment, I would have said, you know what, there's a good chance he's going to finish that rehab assignment and be optioned to Louisville because Stubbs was playing well. They obviously didn't want Gary Matthews Jr. to come up. They dinged him, and Heisey was doing fine in a pinch hitting role, and that's kind of been up, you know, there's some upheaval now. I could see a Heisey Dickerson platoon. I could see Dickerson playing every day. They do need a leadoff hitter, and Dickerson would fill that mold pretty well. Heisey played really well in the opportunities he's gotten, but he's been much better off the bench than he's been as a starter until recently. And so it's going to be interesting to see which way they go with that. They've been pretty loyal to Stubbs. They've been pretty loyal to Jay Bruce. But they know that if they want to win this division, they have to have, you know, those guys hitting more consistently. So I'll be curious to see where they go. Nothing would shock me at this point whether they sent Stubbs back to AAA to get right, if they kept with them, or if they went with Heisey, or they went with Dickerson. They could go pretty much four ways right now, and none of it would shock me.
Yeah, and I don't envy the guys that are having to make those decisions, certainly, because you're right. You mentioned loyalty to those guys, and I actually appreciate the Reds having that, taking that stance, because one my pet peeve, really, and we talk about on this podcast just about every week, is people giving up on these young players, after they have one bad week. You got to remember, Drew Stubbs is a young guy still, too, and I'm still high on him, but the problem is he's having his struggles, as you said, right here in the middle of a pennant race that maybe not everybody expected we were going to be in at this point. So
it's also ironic that it's ironic though. I remember last year, the year before, when Dusty Baker was, you know, in his first 2 years as a manager. Oh, he sticks with these old, you know, guys. They accuse him of everything from cronyism to, you know, ageism. That
all
he
right.
hated young players, and now he sticks with the young players. And I'm not trying to defend Dusty. Dusty doesn't need me to defend him, and I'm not. It's not my job to defend. You know, I'm not going to. But I think it's funny though. This year, you know, he sticks with the young players too much, like Stubbs and Bruce, and not the veterans. But, you know, I couldn't hear too little of Willie Taveras' complaints and Corey Patterson's complaints that he stuck with those guys way too long. So I do find it kind of funny now.
Yeah, well, I see your point. And I think that some of that criticism for Dusty from his past jobs is justified. Here in Cincinnati, I don't know. I don't know how much I don't see which young guys he's sort of kept down in favor of the veterans. I'm not sure who they would have had. I didn't like, obviously, having Tavares or Patterson, but, you know, it's not like there was some huge prospect that they were keeping down at that time for those guys. And you know, your point about Bruce and Stubbs is correct. He stuck with them. And I hope the Reds will be rewarded for that eventually. I think you've got to give these young guys a chance to develop. Another young guy, you wrote had an article that was posted this afternoon, I think, at Reds.com, MLB.com, about Aroldis Chapman. It's looking awfully it's looking like we may be seeing Chapman soon. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, his numbers are filthy. He seems like he's figured out the relief role. It took, you know, maybe the first six or seven games he was kind of shaky, and then the last, I think, you know, 10 or 11 outings, he's only given up one unearned run, and he's been pretty lights out. And, you know, I was talking to Doherty yesterday when I did that, you know, the post that story, and it seems like he's really gotten it together, and he's throwing 103 on Tuesday at Columbus, which is, you know, mind-boggling. Now, I understand I wasn't at the series in Pittsburgh, and I heard Russ Springer might be, you know, have a little injury, and you wonder if that might be the opening for Chapman. Otherwise, you know, it might take someone else performing not well, but clearly he's ready when they want him. You know, the minor league side, Terry Reynolds said they would recommend him, and Walt Jocketty said he was definitely someone they would have no problem bringing up if they wanted to bring him up.
Can you believe you're even talking seriously about somebody topping out at 103? I mean, that's just insane.
It is insane. I mean, he was hitting like 101, I think 102 in spring training, and, you know, you're watching that, you know, and as much as impressive as that was, he was actually, at the time, representing with a good changeup, which had hitters all crossed up during, you know, live PP and, you know, some of those spring training games, but then again, you know, 103 is still 103, and it is, you know, if he can get that over and command his off-speed stuff, he could give big league hitters trouble. Now, if he's having trouble with the other pitches and 103 is coming, and even big lead hitters can put that out of the ballpark, and that could probably hit the river in Cincinnati. So we'll, you don't want to get too excited about it, but then again, it's still impressive, especially from a 22-year-old left hander.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when they made the move to put him in the bullpen in Louisville, I wrote at Red Leg Nation that I thought that was a great idea. You know, keeps his numbers down some, and it gives him some experience in a position where he could possibly help the Reds down the stretch. You made a point in your article today that actually we've talked about a few times at Red Leg Nation by comparing him with David Price, the situation that Tampa Bay Rays had the year they went to the World Series. David Price was their big prospect, number one pick, and, you know, they called him up, and really he was very, very effective as a reliever there in the end of the regular season, the playoffs. And so I thought that the fact that you pointed that out, I agree 100%. And wouldn't it be nice to have a dominant left-hander like that?
Yeah, I don't think he's one of those guys that'll have the pressure of the postseason or the late season pennant race. I don't think any of that stuff's going to faze him. Even though he's young, I don't think he has the weight of Cincinnati on his shoulders like maybe other people might. And I think him coming in will be, you know, after he gets over the initial adjustment of being a big league pitcher, I think he'll be really, you know, he could be successful. And what a weapon to have in the late innings, especially if, you know, Mike Leake was sitting there starting or, you know, even Arroyo, and then you get to the seventh or eighth inning, and you have Aroldis Chapman to unfurl, you know, throwing his stuff. That's quite a move for quite an asset having your bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be envious of any hitter that had to go face, like for example, Arroyo, then the next at bat Chapman. I don't know how he hit it, but that'd be interesting to see. You think it could be soon? I mean, obviously, if Springer goes on the DL, you would think that Chapman's the guy, but if he doesn't go on the DL, we were talking maybe Bill Bray, I'm not sure who else, maybe perhaps Jordan Smith, I don't know, although he's pitched awfully well.
I think it would definitely be someone like Bray would have to be, you know, not be successful. I know he gave up a home run yesterday, but, I mean, I think it'll take more than just a bad outing for a reliever. I think it could be one of those things where they think, all right, we need him now to do this or do that in the bullpen. You know, I don't necessarily feel like they have to get him up right this minute, but he's ready, and they know he's ready, and they're you know, right now, until yesterday, the bullpen had a less than a 1 ERA in the last, you know, 12 games, and everyone seemed to be pitching well, and you don't want to bring him up and then not use him also. You want to make sure you have him in there. There's a role for him, and that's the stuff they have to work out. I don't know exactly what they'll end up doing, but I would say, hey, you know, like I think I wrote the article, at any time he could be here. The phone will ring and it'll be for him, and they'll have him in Cincinnati, and they'll turn him loose.
That's going to be exciting. Fans, they're already fighting, it looks like. We don't need something like that to get some fans in the stands anymore for the first time in a while, it seems like, but that'd be an exciting time. You mentioned Mike Leake. What do you think about this guy? He just continues to impress me. Even when he has his bad outings, he continues to impress me with just the way he carries himself. And this guy's got he's special. He has a good future, doesn't he?
Oh, clearly. I mean, he's very mature for a young guy. He's only 22 also. And, it's hard to remember. You know, obviously it's there that he went right from college to the major leagues. You've kind of forgotten about that now. He's just kind of a rookie, and he's going through his rookie season. He's having his ups and his downs, mostly are ups, and he's obviously not as strong as he was, numbers-wise, as he was in the first half, but he's still pitching pretty well, and the last game was standing, he's been a pleasant surprise, and he's definitely one of the reasons why the Reds are where they are. I mean, a couple of years ago, their fifth starter was a guy like Matt Belisle or Josh Fogg, and Mike Leake is much more talented and much more able to do things in the later innings than either of those guys ever were. That's a great asset to have as a fifth starter.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, again, I continue to encourage Reds fans. Look, he's going to have some – rookie pitchers have their ups and downs. He's going to be inconsistent sometime. This is his first time on this merry-go-round. But you cannot complain about a single thing Mike Leake's done this year. He's been – outstanding. You talked about the fifth starter there, and my question that I posed at Red Leg Nation yesterday was, 11-2 record, 3.24 ERA, is Johnny Cueto, is he an ace at this point?
Yeah, I never make a big deal of that stuff. I would almost say Arroyo is probably the ace in the sense that he's the veteran, and he's also got, I think, 10 or 11 wins, and his ERA is obviously not as good. During the season, I don't put a whole lot of ace and not ace stuff. I mean, right now you have two really good pitchers at the top of the rotation. You have Leake, you have Volquez, who's trying to find it, and then you have Travis Wood, who's been a nice surprise also, I think, as a rookie, what he's done so far. Cueto's definitely elevated his stature on the rotation. I mean, coming into the season, he was a third or fourth starter. A couple of years ago, he was a fifth starter. Last year, I think he kind of underwhelmed people. You know, he came out the gate really hot, and then he got smoked 22-1 after not making the All-Star team, and I think things kind of went downhill for a while from there. But this year he's been definitely a really solid pitcher. He's really improved his work ethic. His conditioning is really good. He's been, every day when we go to the press box, before anyone's there, he's always running the stairs to the stadium and doing a lot of workout, and I think he's trimmed down a little bit. He's definitely not as doughy as he once was, and I think that's all helping him be the pitcher he is.
Yeah, whether you put a label on him or not, it's become evident, especially over the last month or so, he has taken that next step. It looks, he's just, when he's on the mound, you're comfortable with it. And also, I love watching Arroyo pitch because of the crazy things he can do with the baseball, and it's, how much fun it is just to watch him go at hitters. But with Cueto, just watching that electric stuff that he has when he's on, that's just it's got to be terrifying for opposing hitters, but he's a delight to watch as well.
And he changed his ways a little bit. I mean, Cueto used to be all about bringing the heat and getting those strikeouts, but of course he'd have 110 pitches through five innings and it didn't do anyone any good. And now he seems to take it a little bit off his fastball and kind of step back a little bit. And the pitching coach Brian Price and the manager has brought this up. And if you look at a lot of his starts, he's got less than three strikeouts, but he also has no walks, and that's a big thing. He's kept his walks down, because even when he had a lot of strikeouts, he'd be prone to three or four or five walks, and again, his pitch counts will be up, and I think that's really helped him being more economical has helped him become a better pitcher.
Definitely. You talked about Travis Wood, who's been just outstanding as a he's a guy that sort of come up and got that opportunity. The door opened slightly, and he grabbed it, and he's not trying not to let go of it. Volquez is back now, and he's sort of up and down. He's sort of adjusting back. And then, of course, Arroyo, Cueto, and Leake have done an awful good job. What's this team going to do when, for example, Homer Bailey's ready or Aaron Harang's ready to come back? What do they do? I don't
– Tough question. I don't know. I mean, Harang, I he hasn't even started a rehab assignment yet. I would imagine, I think I read somewhere, I don't know if it was John had this or someone had it, you might have a simulated game when they get back to town, and, you know, he's going to need at least two or three rehab starts, and that takes you almost to September. And then you just wonder. I mean, you obviously wanted him to be, he's a veteran, and they'll probably find a way to get him in there, but, you know, with Homer Bailey, you know, you got to wonder if the bullpen's his future, too, because right now there's really no one to take out. I mean, there's really no one that deserves to come out of the rotation. And again, you're trying to win this thing. So that's a really tough question. I don't know what they're going to do.
That's the only, I don't fault you for giving that answer, because that's exactly my answer. As we said earlier, I don't envy the decision makers on that one, because I don't know. Probably if I had to, you know, make the choice right now, I'd lean towards, you know, Bailey in the bullpen. It'd be nice to have his stuff out in the bullpen. But on the other hand, the bullpen's pitched so well lately, there's not a natural place to fit him out there either.
You're right.
You're going to get rid of Andrusic, you know, the rookie. Well, not, I mean, you know, he's been unhittable since he came back up from AAA. So,
yeah.
Gosh. But, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches, and how long has it been since the Cincinnati Reds had to deal with that?
True, and you know what else? I mean, when Bailey, you know, if and when Bailey comes back, I mean, think about how many things have kind of fallen into place. There's always a difference for everything. People, one of the things I get on Twitter a lot is people want to know, like, you know, they wanted to know 3 months before Volquez came back, who was going to come out of the rotation. Well, you know what? There was an injury. Aaron Horan got hurt, and it happened to work out that Volquez was able to move into his spot. And, you know, things just have a way of working out. I don't get too concerned with what's going to happen beyond next week, because things just have a way of changing. I mean, you never would have thought, you know, that, you know, some of these things that were going on are going on. I mean, Travis Wood, like you said, he came in and he's been lights out, not lights out, but he's been outstanding since he came in, and you know, he deserves to stay, but, you know, something else could happen. Somebody can get hurt. Someone could fall apart. You never know. So these things will work themselves out one way or the other. That's stone cold truth. So.
You mentioned that you weren't. Well, shift over to away from the pitching for just a moment to the hitters. You mentioned that you weren't in Pittsburgh. Are you disappointed that you missed Paul Janisch's big day?
Well, I mean, you know, no. I mean, I could be off. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. I like Paul Janisch, and I'm glad he's doing well. But you know what? Funny thing about him is that he. I know it's been a thing on your blog about kind of, you know, free Paul Janisch and give him his chance. And I remember in Chicago actually the last time Votto got ejected and.
Yeah,
they had about Paul Janisch in the third spot after in Votto's place, and they did the double switch, and he went 4-for-4 with a home run. So it's a, you know, he can hit. I don't know whether he can hit over the long term and whether he's the long term answer at shortstop offensively. We know he can do it defensively, but now this is a good chance for him to do the job. He's got 2 weeks to pretty much take this gig and show what he can do and show that he's better than his lifetime offensive numbers.
Yeah, and I don't know that anybody's claiming he's going to be lights out offensively. The free Paul Janisch stuff is mostly just, we'd like to see the guy play 3 times a week or something, or, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, spelling Cabrera.
That's a lot when Cabrera's, I mean, people like to get on Cabrera, but I mean, I know he doesn't have the range that he used to have, and he's certainly not as good defensively as Janisch, but I don't think he's a slouch defensively either. And maybe I don't have the numbers, and I don't have all that, you know, the defensive metrics that a lot of people look at, but you know, looking with my own eyes, I mean, Cabrera has not embarrassed himself at shortstop, and for the most part, offensively, he's been decent. I don't think, you know, he's killed them offensively, and I think with his experience, he's had a lot to do with where the Reds are. And you know, Janisch, he kind of got the short end of the stick, you know, when they signed Cabrera at the last second. And yeah, I was happy, more than happy, if Janisch had gotten a chance to go into spring training and take his chances, but. He knows his role, and I think, you know, right now that's the best situation for him. Asking a guy to play 4 days a week, though, that might be a stretch to me. But
well, I'm saying
maybe more than he's playing now than he was playing would have been okay. But he's the 25th guy. He's on the roster, and he's got a role, and his role was to be that last kind of last guy before the when you run out of players, and that's kind of the way it is.
Well, the 3 or 4 days a week is in, you know, spelling Cabrera or Roland, who's out a good bit, or Phillips is what we were thinking. Of course, nobody expected Cairo to come in and you know, he's hit
exactly.
Way beyond what anybody expected him to do. So that's cut into maybe some opportunities Janisch would have had at third base as well.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, Miguel Cairo, I mean, everyone wanted him out of town after 28 at-bats, you know, in April and May, and he played sparingly, was hitting under, you know, around 200, and they wanted him out. But, man, his – his worth to this team. I mean, he did so well when Roland was out for those nine games with the hamstring, and you know, Miguel Cairo was indispensable. I mean, I know people want to see Paul Janisch play, but I don't think anyone can complain with the job that, you know, the Cairo did.
No, I agree with what you're saying. That's what I'm saying. That's part of the reason why Giannis has not gotten to play as much is because Cairo came in, and it's just been nobody can complain about anything Miguel Cairo's done. He's been, you know, you don't want to say MVP of the team, but when the Reds have needed him, he's been there. After that first sort of rough stretch in the year, he was as bad as the Reds were early on in the season before the Reds really caught fire as well, and he kind of caught fire at the same time, yeah. Well, has something changed? What's your opinion on Brandon Phillips? Just seems like a different player this year. Is it maybe just that he's hitting the lead off a little bit more and he's changed his approach a little bit? He's not having as many of the sort of issues as we've seen in the past of not running out. There have been a few things here and there, maybe not running out ground balls or whatever, but he seems like a different player, and really he's just had a superb year, hasn't he?
He has had a superb year. He's had the kind of year that, you know, he's supposed to be having. I think he's been a, you know, offensively he's had some inconsistencies, and he's also maybe ill-suited for the fourth spot in the order in the past. I mean, I'm not saying he couldn't do it or that he shouldn't have been doing it, because quite honestly, I didn't think, you know, before this season there was anyone else that could do that job. Now that he's batting first or second, it seems to be more suited to his talents. He's got also got, especially if he's batting second, he's got Joey Votto behind him. He's batting first, you know, he's got, often, you know, Cabrera behind him, and it's not a terrible thing. I think it seems to suit him a little bit more than what he was doing, and yeah, he's playing better.
Yeah, he's been, and he's always fun to watch with the glove on his hand.
Well, clearly, he's a great defensive player. He deserved to go to the All-Star game. He's mercurial, and you know that's a story for another time. But he's, but for the most part, he's a guy that you know, he's doing exactly what they need him to be doing. He's a very good second man. He's part of the, you know, that main engine, the cog of the main engine that needs to go to play well for this team to go anywhere. Him and Roland and Votto are the, you know, like kind of the three guys in that order that have to be playing and have to be playing well for them to have any chance. And he's definitely one of those indispensable people.
Yeah, I agree. Joey Votto, are there any words to describe? This guy just keeps hitting, just keeps on. I mean, his numbers are unbelievable. He's leading the league in all kinds of statistical categories, from batting average, home runs, on-base percentage, slugging percentage. Are there any words in the English language to describe what this guy's been able to do at his age?
I got three words. Most valuable player.
There you go.
Right, at the rate he's going right now, I mean, he's got to be in the, if not leading the conversation, he's going to be definitely in the top two. I mean, he's going to be at least in the hunt for the Triple Crown. He's been hitting for more power this year. He's kind of doing what he was doing last year. I mean, people kind of forget last year because they weren't playing well and he missed so much time, but I mean, he had 25 home runs, but he missed, you know, 30 games or so, or 25 games with his personal issue. Now he's been playing full time and he's not missed any time so far, and I think he's just a very dedicated and very disciplined hitter, and he's raking, so it's definitely without him, I don't know where the Reds would be.
I agree, and the third cog in the machine you were just talking about, without Scott Rowland. You know, everybody expected Scott Rowland to be good as much as he's able to play. He's obviously not going to be able to play every day these days. But everybody expected him to be good and good defensively, but nobody expected him to hit with the power he's hit with. And really, just he's put up a year that I don't think anyone could have expected. He's not hit like this in 3 or 4 years at least.
No, he hasn't, and he's already exceeded his home run total from the layout previous couple of years. He had like 11 the last 2 years in a row. He has 18, I think, this year, 19.
Yeah, 18.
If you looked at his first half numbers, his numbers weren't that far behind Votto. You could have made an argument that, you know, as far as first half MVPs goes, you know, Roland would be in that conversation too, because he was every bit as important and as good as Votto, just a couple of numbers behind in the home run and the RBIs. But and his defense, I mean, think about Edwin Encarnacion and where they were with him, and defensively, and you know, Roland doesn't make every play, but man, when he makes them, he definitely throws them there, and he's smart. I mean, he can take an extra base. He does a lot of things that don't quantify very well, but his presence has made this team, you know, infinitely better. Not infinitely better. It's made it better. You know, having him for the whole year and having him from the beginning of the season has kind of shown a lot of these guys, the younger guys, how to handle themselves. He's not necessarily a rah-rah leader, but he's a lead-by-example guy, and those guys really kind of, you know, watch what he does, and they emulate it, and that's really helped them.
Yeah, he's a professional. you know, I think he's probably lost a step defensively. I think Cabrera's probably lost a step defensively. But you mentioned both those guys. Something they do that you don't have to worry about with them is maybe they don't get to every ball they used to. But when they get to balls, they're not doing dumb things with it. They're making good throws. They're you can tell these guys have an idea out there. Even when we had Alex Gonzalez previously, and he had the great reputation, I never felt comfortable with him. He seemed like he was always doing something silly with the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, that's something. I'm not a big Cabrera fan, obviously. I'd love having Cabrera on my team. He was just batting eighth. That's my opinion. That's my only quarrel there. But he's not been as bad defensively as I thought he was doing early on the year. He's sort of stabilized the position a little bit more than I thought he was going to. And I like having a guy with good hands. And you mentioned Edwin. Edwin was my favorite Red last year, I'll be honest. But it's so much fun not to see throws go into the second row, from that third base position. Sort of an unsung, to shift gears just a brief minute here, one of the unsung reasons I think for the Reds' success, this is sort of my theory, is the production that they've gotten out of the catcher's spot. Ramon Hernandez and Ryan Hannigan, you can't complain with anything those guys have done this year. Should we have been surprised at this? And what are your thoughts on the catcher spot?
No, I think the big surprise from the catcher spot, it actually, I'm not going to say his numbers were like stupendous, but Cork actually did
yes.
a pretty good job with his hitting. I mean, he's a sub-200 hitter, and I think he had 246, which is nothing to go rah-rah about, but at the same time, it was a much-needed thing they needed when Hernandez got hurt and then when Hannigan got hurt, or vice versa. But catching's been good. Hernandez has hit the eighth spot mostly. Hannigan has, too, and they've both been very productive. I would take what you're saying a step further in a different direction and say that the left fielders, their production, especially with goals and even when Nick steps in, has been one of the reasons why this team is going places. And I think the lineup's more balanced in general. I mean, Gomes has not been playing as well as he was in the first half, but I think when you had the left fielders in the beginning of the year, all of them, and then when Gomes broke out, that's been a big reason. And then the catching has definitely been solid. I mean, Hannigan's starting to get some more RBIs. He's much better with even with runners in scoring position. And I think people have just undervalued her in general for his offensive talents. I mean, he's not he's not what he used to be. He's 35 years old, but at the same time, he knows what he's doing at the plate. And he can get up for situations, and he can hit it.
Hernandez getting on base at a .353 clip. Hannigan's getting on base at a .406 on base percentage. I'll take that for my catchers every single day. No complaints about that.
Absolutely.
And Hannigan, and also Miller. You mentioned Corky Miller, and we love Corky Miller, and mostly it's because of his mustache, but also because he came in and defensively he's sort of a pro, like we said earlier. He's not going to stun anybody with his ability, but he handles the pitching staff well. He doesn't make mistakes out there, and I agree with you. That was huge for him to come up and play 24 games and really stabilize when it could have been a sort of a hole there in the lineup.
Absolutely.
Left field, you're right about Gomes. He's been really bad lately, frankly. His production out there in left field has really. That's exactly right. We didn't know what we were going to be getting from left field. And certainly he was signed late in the game before the season, and we didn't know who was going to be out there. So another reason why this offense has been surprisingly good. Let's see here. What else was I going
to? You're not getting too close to where you had to go to your flag football game, right?
Just found out that it's being canceled till tomorrow. So.
Oh, okay.
Thunderstorms here, so they've changed it to tomorrow. So. But that's just about everything we sort of wanted to cover. One last thing, actually. Walt Jocketty obviously didn't make any moves at the trade deadline, and obviously he's going to continue to be searching the waiver wire and see if anything can be worked out. Do you expect to see any deals before the August waiver trade deadline?
I guess it all depends on what happens if something happens. Teams have kind of responded. One team, I forget who it is, all of a sudden, had an injury, and they went and got somebody got Ryan Sweeney. I think it was the Phillies. So, Howard get hurt or something like that? They got Mike Sweeney. And
right.
you know, things like that come up, and you never know. Right now, I don't see anything on the radar, but at the same time, you know, if they're able to get through a waiver trade, it's possible.
For 6 weeks before the non-waiver deadline there, July 31st, we were all saying, oh, they've got to do something to get some help for the bullpen. They've got to do something. And then all of a sudden, the bullpen turns into a strength. So, you know, you got to think Gomes, he's in a slump right now. He's in a sort of a down spot in his up and down season. But you got to think he's going to come back and do well. We're going to have Dickerson come back to help out. There's no huge holes right now that they necessarily have to go out.
No gaping holes at all. That's what they haven't put Walt in a tough position in a way because, yeah, at times things were going not well and the bullpen was kind of doing that, you know, not doing so well, but then it did well. And but, you know, the fans, of course, wanted a trade, but at the same time, you can't let the fans run your team. And I think it was good for him not to show the restraint that he generally does show and that he didn't feel like he had to make a move. I mean, I think he probably, reading between the lines, he said that, you know, he wasn't after any of the relievers that were traded on the deadline, which leads me to wonder if he was after some of the Toronto relievers that didn't get moved, like Downs or Frazier or something like that, or maybe the guy in Seattle, League. And I'm just spitballing that. I'm not saying that's what I heard, but I just at the same time, none of those get moved, and you wonder if they were after them and they didn't get them. They were prepared not to you know, make a move, to have a move, you know, for the sake of one. I mean, the Gary Matthews situation kind of give you a little indication of how he was thinking, that he didn't want to disrupt what he had. You know, he was willing to do it for Cliff Lee, but he wasn't willing to do it for a middle-of-the-road type of guy, and that's the way he's operating right now.
No, I think that's probably, I don't quarrel at all with that line of thinking. And you can't quarrel with really much of anything that Jocketty's done. I think he's probably right to not sort of disrupt what we got going here, because it's a good thing. The Reds are not they're not an elite team right now, but they're a team that's on the rise. And in this division, which is not that good, the Cardinals just keep having problems with injuries. And, you know, Freese is out for the year now. It's there for the taking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's there. You know, if you make it this far, it's there for you. I mean, all you ask as a team, whether, you know, what division you're in, is if you can get to September, it's up for grabs. If you're in the hunt, anything can happen. And the Reds have done, you know, they're a month away from holding up to that end of the bargain. I mean, they're still a game or a half game up or down. I mean, it's still wide open. And, you know, then it becomes very interesting after that, what's going to happen. And a lot of these guys are going through it for the first time. Cardinals have a lot more experience with it. They have a lot of guys that have been on the World Series. They know how to win. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. And but right now the Reds they deserve to be where they're at. They've played well. I think a lot of people, you know, are very negative. You never know what some of the questions I get, whether this is the first place team. But, you know, they're where they're at. They've hit well and they pitched well. That's all you can ask for if you want to win.
Yeah, I've been embarrassed, frankly, about a lot of the negativity we've seen. I can't believe how people can, you know, I mean, it's all right to question things every once in a while, but, you know, things overall.
I mean, I'm not positive for, you know, I'm not overly positive either, but I mean,
right.
I'm as cynical as anyone else can be, but then the cynicism has turned to full-fledged negativity, especially on Twitter, it seems like, and
yes.
it's different. It's a different, something I haven't seen so much of. I can understand it in years past, but I think people haven't quite embraced the idea that they think they're watching a winning team right now. Maybe they're not enjoying it, or maybe they should enjoy it more. I don't know, but that's up to them. And, you know, it's their team to root for. If they want to root for it any way they want, and if they want to be negative, they can be negative. But it's surprising me how they're handling what they're doing right now. But that's okay. That's their job. They're fans. They can do whatever they want.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying, and I know exactly the way you're trying to put it. There is some of that element. It's been a decade, you know. I won't be fooled again. But at this point, you know, this team, well, really since they started winning early on, you could tell they were sort of a different type of team. And even if you thought they were going to fall off the this was my argument, even if you think they're going to fall off the cliff in July or something, why not enjoy the wins now while we're getting them? You know, it's fun. So
sure.
I know that your job is the same whether they're winning or losing. You know, you're a professional. You got a job to do. But I'll tell you that for those of us out here, the winning, it's a lot of fun. And it's been a good year, and we appreciate being able to everything that you're providing both on Twitter and certainly at your blog and obviously at MLB.com. So keep up the good work, Mark.
Well, thank you very much, Chad, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I always appreciate, you know, your link into my stories and things like that. It's always, you know, any amount of traffic that we can get going in my direction, whether on the blog or the stories, it always helps. And, you know, thanks to everyone else that reads. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we're big Mark Sheldon fans, so keep it up. We'll link to all your Twitter, your blog, and your andres.com, where you can be read pretty much every day. Have fun in Chicago.
I will. Take care, and thank you.
All right, thank you. That's all for this week's Red Leg Nation Radio podcast. Check us out every week at redlegnation.com. For Mark Sheldon, Red Beat Writer for MLB.com, this is Chad Dotson, redlegnation.com, saying so long.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.